Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night. While we're waiting on our first call, I would like to talk about whether belief in Christ is absolutely necessary. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Almost all understand this to mean that a sinner has to believe in Christ to be saved. For example, an atheist will not be saved because he doesn't believe. But some preachers want to hedge. Some will ask, but what about someone, like maybe someone in a third world country, who has never heard the gospel? The answer is not that those people don't have to believe to be saved. If God requires some to believe, but others are not so required, then God would be showing favoritism. The answer is that God has guaranteed that those who truly look for God will find him. Matthew 7:7 reads, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 2 says, "If you seek him, he will be found of you." So those, for example, in third world countries that haven't heard about Christ, if they will seek God, God will be found by them. Not that they will be saved in their unbelief, but that they will find God and then they can believe. So nobody is going to be saved in their unbelief. Instead, if they are sincere, they will be given an opportunity to learn about Christ and either accept or reject him and his way. Next, some will ask about the Jews and other religions. Even though they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, since they are faithful to their religion, won't they be saved? That's the argument that's made. Billy Graham is famous for teaching in crusade after crusade that people needed to come forward and accept Christ in order to be saved. But in an interview with Robert Schuller, Mr. Graham said, and I quote, "Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but if they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved and they're going with us to heaven." But God clearly says in John 14, verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then again in John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Now, since God requires belief in Christ to be saved, and these two passages prove that he does, and no exceptions are made because of ignorance, the same would also be true about repentance and baptism. In Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So repentance is also absolutely required. Those who believe in Christ but are not following what he says, they will not be saved. They have not repented. This would include the gay church, the Catholic church, the Calvinistic church, any denomination, any church that is not following the Bible. Remember, John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It's only the truth that will make us free from sin, not false religious teaching. Acts 2:38 reads, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That verse makes both repentance and baptism absolutely essential to salvation. There are no exceptions for those who are never baptized, even for believers, even for those who were sprinkled but not actually immersed, even for those who were only baptized when they were babies. No exceptions. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Lastly, we have to believe and obey the truth in order to be saved. 1 Peter 1:22a reads, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." If you have a Bible question or a comment on this or any other Bible topic, call us at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. So, What we're saying is, Mr. Graham says that a person, as long as they're faithful to their own religion, they don't really have to believe in Christ to be saved, even though he preached that they did in crusade after crusade after crusade. But John 14:6 and John 8:24 prove that a person does have to believe in Christ to be saved. Let me read those texts again. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or except by me. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So the Jews that don't believe in Christ, even if they're faithful to their religion. The Muslims that don't believe in Christ, even if they're faithful to their religion. The Buddhists that don't believe in Christ, even if they're faithful to their religion, they're not going to be saved, because passages like John 14:6 and John 8:24 show that belief in Christ is absolutely necessary to being saved. Billy Graham was wrong when he told Robert Schuller that people could be saved if they're faithful to their religion, even though they don't believe in Christ. He was just dead wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. As we mentioned, the same thing that applies to belief also applies to repentance. Remember again that Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it, no exceptions. He says, except ye repent, ye shall perish. That means even if a person is a believer, if he's not willing to change, if he's not willing to repent of his sins, he'll be lost. Like, for example, those in the gay church. They say they believe in Christ, they say they believe in the Bible, but they obviously hadn't repented of their sins. They obviously hadn't repented of their sins. And this verse says, except ye shall repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question, a question about this Bible topic or any other Bible topic, the same thing is true about baptism. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, if we're not willing to repent, if we're not willing to be baptized for the remission of sins, we're not going to be saved. There are no excuses. God has given us His Word. He's told us what He wants us to do to be saved by the blood of Christ, by the death of Christ. It's up to us to do it. And then I read 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth. You see, you have to obey the truth to get your soul purified, to be forgiven. Obeying something different from the truth, just because you obey what some preacher said, that doesn't mean you have purified your souls. If he's preaching something different from the truth, then you haven't really obeyed the truth, and your soul hasn't been purified. The emphasis in the Bible is always upon truth. God's Word, what it teaches. People can't teach different things and all be teaching the truth. There is one truth. We must obey that truth if we want to be forgiven, if we want to be saved. Deborah from New Jersey, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, I want to say I've been listening to you on the way to work for a while, and you're very challenging. And sometimes I do agree with you, and sometimes I'm not quite sure. But I wanted to ask you something about the statement you made about Billy Graham. The reason I'm asking that is one of the things that I have heard him say time and time and time and time again was that there is only one way, and Christ is the only way, one mediator between God and man. But I'm wondering if the statement you're talking about was said in the context of that maybe that it's possible for a person who is of another faith that they at some point in their life could come by a witness or the revelation of God and the Holy Spirit, the revelation that Christ is the only way, and that they could, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to die believing in the faith that they're in, that they could, before they die, become a Christian. And because I have never heard Billy Graham ever say that you could be saved any other way. And I'm just wondering mm-hmm. where you heard that.
Thank you for your call, Deborah. And what Mr. Graham preached in his crusades was that a person did have to believe in Christ to be saved. But he's an example of one of those preachers I was mentioning that hedged. When he was asked by, and this was an interview with Robert Schuller, he said that the Muslim world, the Buddhist world, or even an atheist could be saved without believing in Christ. I know
now,
that's surprising.
Now, when was this? How long ago was this that he said this?
I'm not sure. I don't have a date on this quote.
You know, if you could, in your time, and I know you're a busy man, if mm-hmm. you could, you got my call-in number. If you could find that out for me so that I can verify that myself, because I'm shocked to hear that, because I have never, ever heard him in all my years being born again, 42 years, ever heard him say. In fact, I've always heard that he was one of the ones that didn't hedge, that was always very firm about there was only one way to heaven, and it was through Jesus Christ. So I'm just curious to know when you heard that and what context it was in.
Deborah, your number is not showing up on the caller ID.
Okay.
You may not want to put it on the air, but can you send me an email sometime
okay.
this week after the program, and I'll get you that quote, and we can talk about it over email. Can we do that?
Yes, we can do that. And what is your email on?
It's BibleCrossfire@email.com.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, I would love to talk to you about that. We can explore it further, okay?
Thank you, sir. Bye now.
Thank you
God
for your call.
Bye now.
Troy from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I'm just wondering about the thief on the cross next to Jesus. Jesus told him that he'd be with him in paradise. They pulled him down and baptized him?
You know, we've answered that question on this program before, but I'm glad you asked, Troy. It gives us another opportunity. Have you ever noticed this passage in Hebrews 9, Troy, verse 15 through 17? It says, "And for this cause he," talking about Jesus, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Now, we know this analogy. The analogy is, there's four of us boys. I had three brothers, and we were in the will of my parents in the 1970s, but we did not inherit. The will did not go into effect until after my parents died. And so the point being made in Hebrews, Troy, is the same thing with Jesus' last will and testament. Jesus' New Testament law did not go into effect until after he died. It's the New Testament that requires baptism for salvation, and the thief on the cross did not live under the New Testament law. He lived before that, so he didn't have to be baptized for the same reason that Adam didn't have to be baptized, that Moses was not asked to be baptized, that Abraham was not asked to be baptized. They lived under that previous law. It's the New Testament law that requires baptism. Troy, does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Doesn't make any sense. I tell you what.
I'm driving.
Yes. Can you send me an email sometime this week so we can talk about it further?
I guess you're not going to let me talk, so that's fine. I'm not.
Go ahead, Troy. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, I know in the Bible it talks about by the Holy Ghost, and that's where you're getting confused, I think. I ain't going to tell you the exact verse because I'm driving down the road right now, but I know that's what it says. It don't say you have to be baptized to be saved.
Troy, what about that verse?
Repent of your sins that he saves.
What about Mark 16:16 that says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved"? Wouldn't that teach you how to be baptized to be saved? Troy, what about Acts 2:38 that says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins"? Wouldn't that teach a person has to be baptized to be saved? What about Acts 22:16, where Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Wouldn't that prove that a person had to get baptized to get his sins washed away by the blood of Christ? What about 1 Peter 3:21 that says, "Baptism doth also now save us"? Wouldn't that prove that a person had to be baptized to be saved? It looks like we've lost Troy on the line, so we're going to go to Elizabeth from Louisiana. Elizabeth, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, today we were in church service, and the pastor, I've started going to United Pentecostal Church, and the pastor made a statement at the end. It was all about citizenship and that we make sure that we're signed up with to come and be saved and to put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm all about that, you know, to be saved and get your name in there. But then he made a comment that if you if your name got taken away, that to come up, your name got blotted out, and to put your name back in. And I've never been to a church actually that said that before. And I was like...
Elizabeth, let me ask you what you think about a passage like Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Here's how it reads. And Jesus is speaking here. He says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Do you see how that Jesus is saying that if we overcome, and I suppose that's talking about temptation or persecution, that if we overcome, our name will not be blotted out, which would imply that if we don't overcome, that our name will be blotted out. You see the point, Elizabeth?
I just believe that once you're saved and you're truly saved, that maybe somebody thinks that they've had an experience and they just actually had a good feeling time, but they, you know, really weren't saved. That I really think that that person, that the Lord would be a liar if he took their name out. Now, I know people can backslide and people can get away from God, but I do believe that if you have Jesus' heart, you will not go out and commit all these horrendous things that people do, because a Christian
Elizabeth,
is not capable of that.
Thank you for your call. Let me remind our callers that they need to turn the radio off when they're talking to me, else they'll get that feedback. Let's look at Revelation 3:5 again. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." That what that's saying is that if we don't overcome, our name will be blotted out. So I don't see how you could say that Jesus or God was lying. He's told us right up front, "If you're not faithful to me, I will blot your name out." So this idea of once saved, always saved is just dead wrong. These people, it's not that these people were never saved to begin with, and they just thought they were. No, their names were in the book of life. That means they were truly saved, but they got their name blotted out, erased out, which means they were saved in the book of life. They weren't faithful to God, and so they got their name blotted out. They weren't saved after that. So it's not once saved, always saved. It's once saved if you're faithful to God, then you continue to be saved. That's the truth of the matter. I think there's a verse on every page of the Bible that proves once saved, always saved is wrong. Margarita from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I commenting on the quotes that you said Billy Graham said, because I have been listening to Billy Graham since I was 6 years old, and as a matter of fact, that's how come I became a Christian and accepted Christ. And he had always said that Christ is the only way. And I would like to research that, what you said about the if you're Muslim and whatever it is that you said, you know, there's other ways to heaven. I've never heard him said that. And I've followed him like I said, from I was six, and now I'm 63. So I would like to know when he said that, and especially you said he quoted it to Don Shula. I just can't believe that, and it really disturbed me that somebody would say that he said something like that.
This is a quote from an interview with Robert Shula. It's not that somebody said that he said it. This is an actual quote from the interview they have. It says, here's what Mr. Graham said, "Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world," and this is a quote of what he said, "or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved and they're going to be with us in heaven." That's a quote from Mr. Graham and it was an interview with Robert Shuler, not Don Shula, Robert Shuler.
Yeah, I'm that's from that, Miami, that's why I said Don Shula.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. That's fine.
I know. But I would really like to research that. I know what you said, that it's not what they say. It's what was quoted that Billy Graham said. And maybe if I Google the interview, do you know what year it was said?
No, but I could find that out because I got this quote off the internet, and it probably said the date there. I just don't have it with me right now, and I don't want to look for it right now in the middle of the program.
Okay.
But why don't you research it and call us back next week and tell us what you found out? How about that?
Okay. All right.
That'll be great. Okay. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
So, yes, I know that Mr. Billy Graham, in all of his crusades down through the years, that was his main theme. His main theme was you got to believe in order to be saved. I understand that. But I was bringing him up as an example of a preacher who hedged. When he was interviewed by Robert Shuler, Mr. Graham hedged and said, these people, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the non-believing world, they can be saved if they follow the light they have. Even if they don't even know the name of Jesus, they're going to be in heaven with us. Those are his words. That's what he said. And he's basically saying if they're faithful to their religion, what they understand, they're going to be saved even if they never believed. But John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we should not hedge on this. This is something that's not negotiable. You have to believe in Christ to be saved. It doesn't matter what religion you're in or how faithful you are to that religion. If you don't believe in Christ as the Son of God, you will not be saved. Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Again, it's not negotiable. You have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Many preachers who teach John 3:16, we need to believe in Christ to be saved. But if they're really question, they will say the Jews are going to be saved even though they don't believe in Christ because they're faithful to their religion. Nothing could be further from the truth. The same thing that we're talking about with reference to belief applies to repentance and baptism also. Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It doesn't matter the excuses one might have. Even if a person is a believer, if he's not willing to change his life to repent of his sins, he will perish. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it doesn't matter again. Even if we're a believer, if we don't repent, if we're not baptized, we're not going to be saved. We're not going to receive the remission of sins according to Acts 2:38. Going back to 1 Peter 1:22, which reads, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. If we obey something different from the truth, our souls won't be purified. If we don't obey, if all we do is believe but we don't obey, our souls won't be purified. The only way we can be forgiven of our sins by the blood of Christ is if we obey the truth. So not only do we have to believe, we have to obey, and it has to be the truth. Something different than the truth, like the commandments of men. The doctrine, something that's different than the doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9. That's not obeying the truth. Appreciate you listening. BibleCrossfire@email.com is the email address to send to me. Listen, same time next week.